Well, Happy New Year to everybody.
Happy New Year.
Hey, that's a little bit more excitement. I like that. We, first hour crowd, I had to say Happy New Year like three times just to get them up and going. All right. So, hey, I'm excited to have you here. You know, many of you may have attended Calvary for the first time over Christmas weekend. And I just want to stop and just say a very special thank you to everybody who helped make our Christmas weekend services happen at all three of our campuses. Even here at the Bellevue campus, we had five services over the course of the 23rd, 24th, 25th. And there was an incredible team of volunteers and staff who served all those services. And so would you just join me in thanking all those people who put in the extra mileage during as a church family, we had just under 2,500 people here. I said, if we included the pregnant ladies, can we count 2,500? You know, just nice, smooth number, but just amazing. And some of you, this is your first time here regular basis. You're going to say, hey, I'm New Year's, I'm going to start this new resolution, let's go. I'm excited to dig into this new series called Flip the Switch, and before we do that, I want to just share a couple quick things with you. First of all, we have a thing around here we call next steps. We're always just saying, hey, we are here to help people take their next steps in their relationship with God and next steps in relationships with other people as they're pursuing God. One of the things that we do around here throughout the year is a thing called Financial Peace University. We as pastors, our pastoral team, we get a lot of conversations of people saying, hey, our core issues revolve around money. Our need of, our want of, our disagreement of, and that's some of the greatest struggles many of us face. So we offer this course. It's a 9-week course called Financial Peace University. Some incredible material and just designed to say, hey, let's teach a Christ-centered approach to family finances and to personal finances. And I want to encourage you, if you are kind of in a season where you're saying, hey, I think we could really benefit from this, or I could really benefit from this, it's 9 weeks. Here's the thing. It's $93. That's the cost of the curriculum for you individually. It's not ours. We use it through a broad organization that does a phenomenal job. And you may think, I don't have that. Well, let us know if that's an issue. But here's the thing. What you invest in, you're going to get out of. I've had individual families tell me that they've seen tens of thousands of dollars swing to the positive in their personal financial life. Their arguments about money have gone away. Their marriages are healthy because of it. And because they've took the time to stop and invest for the 9-week time to get a Christ-centered approach. So I want to encourage you. That starts next Sunday, January 15th. You can sign up via our Next Step Center. You can go online. You can show up next week and be a part of that if you'd like. But I want to encourage you. What's your next step with God? We're going to dig into that. Hey, one thing I also want to update you on is this. A couple months ago as a church, we started this One Mission Vision. And we have been growing out of space once again. We want to make room for more people to join us. And so we kind of pushed through a great season of casting vision of how we get there. Many of you have been sacrificially giving already. Some of you have set up your online payments and scheduling your giving, your generosity that way above and beyond your normal gifts to help make it possible. And we've already started work at the Bellevue campus. If you have elementary kids at the Bellevue campus, you may have noticed changes today. I want to encourage you to be patient with us about that. And the kids have moved to a different location. I was over there before the first hour and thanking the volunteers who are making the changes and adjustments. And we're going to start renovating the North Building over the next 2 months, hoping to open up the North Worship Center in March. There's a fifth grade girl who comes running up to me and she says, Pastor, she goes, it's dangerous. And I said, what's dangerous? And she was all of the, like down here and like everything was different to her. And I said, dangerous. Do you not feel safe? She goes, different. She goes, it's different. And I said, well, yeah, it's different. And I said, I hope it's not dangerous, though. We are excited. And just want to thank everybody who's giving to help make room for more people. And just so you know, we have a lot of exterior changes planned for the Bellevue campus, as well as for those joining us at the Shadow Lake campus, the building addition there and the exterior improvements at the Bellevue campus, including the 140-some new parking spaces. All that will be done. And later, it'll be late spring, early summer. Our goal is to have all the projects done by fall. So we're really excited about that. Just want to give you a quick update. Hey, I'm pumped to get into this new series. I want to stop and pray with you, and we'll get going. Father God, thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to partner with you, God, to know you, to walk with you. And God, today, God, I realize that we've all made a choice to be here. God, we have chosen, maybe with a lot of encouragement from someone, God, to be here. And so, God, we want to position ourselves before you and before your word and ask you to lead and guide us. It's in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, we had a great Christmas holiday season. Our Christmas holiday season was kind of unique. It's the first year we were without my wife's, Michaeline's mom. She passed away of cancer last year, as many of you know. And so it was a different Christmas season for us, and some of the traditions and routines are just different. But we try to make the best of it, a very hope-filled season of saying, hey, we know she's with Jesus, and we all get to look forward to that. And we had just an incredible time as a family. We got some projects done at home. We went to the gym and did some different things. We went to a couple movies and just had some great family time. One of my observations over break was simply this. We have some friends who just have a newborn baby, and they wanted to have a night out, and they trusted us to be the first babysitters for the baby. And, you know, why wouldn't you, right? And we just love it, you know. And, you know, I was holding little baby girl, and we were just sitting there in the rocking chair, and you know, our big kids are running around and stuff. And I just had this moment of like, man, our kids are growing up so fast, right? Just the life transformation in their world is happening so quick, and we can just see it. We can see it all the time, and that's good. That's the way life's supposed to be. It's supposed to be forward moving, right? We're not supposed to stagnate and just be still. So we just kind of see this transformation happen, and transformation's a good thing, right? We celebrate transformation all the time, right? It's like when your favorite sports team goes from worst to first. Man, you love that transformation, right, Cubs fans? All right? Yeah, some of you, right? And, you know, we celebrate transformation, maybe in your career field or your business or wherever you work, right? Maybe you went from just surviving and scraping by to a place where now it's thriving. We celebrate that transformation, right? We celebrate all different types of transformation in our lives and in the world around us. And even in our own personal lives, we want to see transformation, right? It's this old conversation of moving from where we are to where we want to be. How do we move from where we are to where we want to be? Maybe right now in my personal finances, this is where I am, but here's where I want to be. Maybe within your marriage or your closest of relationships, you know, hey, it's okay. Some days it's not great. Some days it's just awful. Here's where we are, and I can see where we want to be, right? How do we move from there to here? This is a conversation we all play out in our lives, and I think that all of us, hey, we're at church, so we can talk about this, right? In your relationship with God, in my relationship with God, do we not look at it like, here's where I am today, and here's where I want to be? You know, in the most spiritual of terms, biblical of terms, right, God has a will for us. He has a design for our lives. And what we often fight is my will versus his will. Right? Throughout Scripture, we see these descriptors of what this life change, this life transformation can look like. In the book of Isaiah, we just celebrated this through the Christmas season as a church. We talked about how Jesus, he's the wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Right? Well, a couple of verses before that, it talks about how he has come to shine a light into a dark land. Jesus, when he came on the scene, right? There's a lot of scriptures we could look at, and I just want to share a couple of them with you. Jesus said this. He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the what? The light of life. In 1 Peter, it says, he has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous. That's when I go like this, that's when you say light. Okay? Marvelous light, all right? Paul in the book of Ephesians says, you were formerly darkness. Like that was your name. That was who you were. That's where you were wrapped up. He says, you were darkness. But he says, now you are the light of the Lord. Jesus spoke to them saying, he says, hey, look, I'm the light of the world. In the book of John, Jesus says, I am the light of the world, right? This is where we just started. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So you understand where we're coming from? Flip the switch. Flip the switch. How do we move from where we are to where he calls us to be? How do we move from darkness into the light? How do we go about this transformation process? Well, I can't wait to dig into this with you throughout this whole series. We're going to be digging into the different areas of our lives, the way that we see the world, the things that we struggle with. And we're going to try to look at this through the lens of how do we move from my way to his way, from my will to his will, from darkness into the light. And it's really important that as we start this series, we start with this really basic understanding, this core understanding together, right? That there's got to be a better way than what we're discovering right now. I love what God's word has to say. I'm going to assume that majority of us at church today, Shadow Lake, Walnut Creek, Bellevue, catching up online, the majority of us kind of look at the world and look at everything and we say, hey, I want to be in a different place in my relationship with God. I want to know what his will is for my life. I want to know what he wants me to do. I want to know how he wants me to be. I want to be the man or the woman that he has called me to be. Right? So the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans, this is one of my favorite verses I learned as a young man, and it attached deep within me at a young age. It's Romans 12, starting in verse 2. Right? In Romans 12, 2, and I want you to read this out loud with me. If you're new with us, right, you might think, hey, yes, I want you to read with us. And earlier service, I had to stop them because it was really apathetic. And it was like, I want to see some passion here, all right? When I read God's word, I try to do this in my personal life. When I read God's word, I don't just, all right, do not conform any longer. Like, man, in my own personal life, I want to read it with passion in my heart and in my mind. Sometimes I even read it out loud to myself. So I want you to read this with me. Ready? Let's see this. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. Did you catch that? Like, there is a way for you and I to know God's will for our life. His good, his pleasing, his perfect will. Do you want to know that you're pleasing God? Amen. Right? Do we want to know that we're in lockstep with him and we're walking with him? We would all say, yes, let's do this. How do I walk in alignment with God? How do I align myself with him? There's a way that we can know that. There's a way that we can know God's will, but we have to start. We have to start by understanding where we are and how we move from where we are. Now look carefully. All throughout Scripture, you'll see a cause and effect relationship. If we do this, then this will happen. If this happens, then this will happen. You see the word then. So if what happens? There's two things that need to happen. There's something that God asks of us, and there's something God promises he will do, and then we're going to know and we're going to be what he wants us to be. Now, here's the thing. I want to say it this way. I want you to say this one more thing out loud with me, all right? Here we go. Life change happens when we choose transformation over stagnation. All right, here's where we begin. Let's look at the first part of Romans chapter 12, verse 2. He says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Do not conform. Do not give in. Do not just go along with. See, the pattern of this world, right? You and I know the pattern of this world. We live in it. This is the stuff we fight every day, the longing for self, right? The pattern of this world always has been and always will be. It doesn't matter what century it is, what technology it is, what continent it is. We fight the same battles, right? The flesh fights the same battles, right? The patterns of this world are things like this. Hey, if it feels good, do it. If you've bought into that, if it feels good, do it, pattern of this world. The pattern of this world is, hey, the more you have, the more you accumulate, the better you are. Fooey with everybody else, right? We don't need anybody else. Just look out for number one. Just do whatever's best for you. That's the pattern of this world. The pattern of this world is, hey, all truths are equal. Don't mess with anybody's business. You don't need to push yourself on anybody else in any way. And all truths are equal. Or better yet, or worse yet, right, is, hey, there's no such thing as truth. Right? Patterns of this world. In the book of 1 John, it describes this, the pattern of the world, right? It's the lust of our eyes, the boasting of what we have and do, right? It's possessions, it's popularity, it's pleasure, right? Pursue it. It's just for you. It's all about you. That's the pattern of this world. And that stands in direct contradiction to the pattern of God. So that's why the Apostle Paul says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. So you want to know how to get close to God? You want to know how to walk in his light? You want to know that you're a man that's pleasing to him, that you're doing his will, that you're a man of true strength and true character and true honor? Don't conform to the pattern of this world. What have you and I bought into? What have you and I bought into? You know, there's an incredible passage. We're doing a Bible reading plan again as a church. If you haven't dug into that yet, jump in. John chapter 5 is in the reading for today, for this weekend. And in John 5, there's this awesome story. Jesus, it goes to this place. There's the pools by the colonnade. There's this literal pool of water, all right? This place, people who were sick and diseased and crippled, they all gather around this pool. This is in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, all right? This is written about even in history, right? And people believe every now and then the bubbles would stir the water, right? And people believed that it was an angel who stirred the waters, and they believed that whoever was first into the water would be healed. So anybody who was diseased or sick or crippled, right, they constantly hung out by the pool, waiting for the pool to be stirred and the bubbles to go. And so it says that there was an invalid there for 38 years. This guy couldn't walk. And for 38 years, this is where he lived. He lived there. He stayed there. He lived off the gifts of others. He lived off the generosity of other people, whether it be just be their scraps or whatever. He stayed there. He was hoping to get well. And Jesus comes along, walks in, sees the situation, all the people that are there. And it says that he goes up to this guy and he asks him a question that you may question. Like, this is what he asks him? Here's what he asks him. He says, do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? And you may go, oh man, Jesus, don't you know the guy wants to get well? And because he's Jesus, he probably knows something why he used that word, do you want to get well? Because have you ever noticed there's a vast difference between need and want? You can know you need something different in your relationship with God, or you can need something different in your marriage, or need something different in your career, or need something different to help you get through the addiction. You can know you need to do something different, but until you want it, nothing changes. Have you ever noticed that? Until you want it. Like something deep inside you says, no, enough is enough. I'm not going to put up with this anymore. I'm not going to settle anymore. I'm not going to stop. See, because here's the thing that Jesus knows, and I think why he asked that question, and why Jesus may ask you and I that question today. It's this. Because, man, there are things about this world that have really comforted us. Many of you are fighting addictions, right? And you go, man, I'm tired of it, but I like it. That's why you stay in it. You may know you need something different, but you don't want something different. That's why you continually stay where you are, right? Some of us have been so hurt in the past, and we by someone else. And we know that he says, hey, if I forgive, maybe then I can move forward. But many of us are going, I don't want to forgive. I want to hate. I may need to let it go, but I don't want to let it go, so I'm not letting it go. We could go on and on and pick apart all the areas of our life where we struggle with this. And I think the question is, do you want to get well? Do you remember Popeye? Right? So Popeye had this Popeye the Sailor Man, right? We won't sing the song. But listen, do you remember what, he had a little phrase. He would constantly say this, I am what I am. And when he was really frustrated or things were going really bad, he would say, I am what I am and that's all that I am. In other words, hey, this is just me. Nothing's going to change. Nothing's going to be different. See, that's kind of summarizes, I think, for many of us, where we find ourselves in our relationship with Christ. We just reason to ourselves, I think I'm good. I may know I need it, but I really don't want to address the issue. I really don't want to get well. I really don't want to get better. That's why I don't pursue it. That's why I'm not willing to give up the comfort that has come into my life through this addiction or through this pursuit. We think more money will make us happy, so that's why we keep pursuing more money. We think maybe more pleasure will make us happy, or pleasure with a different person will make us happy, so we pursue those types of things. And so we pursue popularity and fame. We pursue being known. So we think, well, if I do more, then I can be more known, and then maybe I'll be happy, right? Isn't that how it works? And so we keep going back to the same wells, all right? We keep digging in the same holes, right? Because we think, maybe if I just go a little bit further on this, I'll be happy. And all along the way, God said, hey, don't conform any longer to the patterns of this world. I want you to stop and listen to me about how we can move forward in life, right? And so transformation is about life change. But listen, life change is not possible. Listen to me. If you've not listened to anything yet, okay, just got some of your attention. It's supposed to be funny, but it's true. You know it. So if you have not listened to anything yet, I want you to hear this. Your life can change positively. Life change with God can happen if you do your part. Many of you just want something to happen, and all of a sudden, you just think you're going to wake up with the peace of God covering over you, that you're walking in the presence of God, and that God's presence is with you, that he's guiding you, that you're a person that's pleasing him. You just think it's going to happen all on its own. But listen, life change won't happen all on its own. You have to want it. You have to start the process. As the Apostle Paul said, don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world. And then something begins to happen. Let's just look at this phrase again. Listen, life change happens when we choose transformation over stagnation. You see, when we choose to stay in the pattern of this world, pursue more, do more, have more, make yourself happy. When we choose to stay there, we stagnate in our relationship with God. Listen to me, it is impossible for you and I to move forward in our relationship with God. Listen to me, please. All right, this is all the counseling meetings we get all the time. All right, people, I need help, I need help, I need help, I need help, I need help. I know you need help. Do you want help? Do you want it? Are you going to own it? Are you going to do what he says through his word? Are you going to be drawn to the light? Or are you going to do your own thing? You need it, but do you want it? Huge difference, right? And so when we get stuck in this pattern, right, we just stay where we are until we say enough is enough. Man, I want Jesus to transform me. I want him to change me. I want him to have me. Until you reach that point, you're going to stay where you are. You cannot move forward in your relationship with God as long as you want the things of this world more than you want him. Period. It's truth. All right? That's stagnation. If you want the things of the world, you say, well, I want the best of this and I want that. I've yet to find somebody who's ever been satisfied with both. Ever. Romans 12:2. Let's look at the rest of this. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I want everybody to say, be transformed.
Be transformed.
All right? Be transformed. Now, notice that the Apostle Paul does not tell us here, right? Hey, don't conform. Quit being bad. Quit hanging on to all this stuff, right? And try harder. He doesn't say, hey, quit living in this pattern and just try to do more good things. It's not about trying. It's not about doing. Listen, it's about being. It's about being transformed. In order to be transformed, you and I have to position ourselves and posture ourselves to receive what God has for us, to receive his teaching, to be open to his guidance and open to his direction, right? The word transformed in the Greek language, metamorpho, literally our translation in English is metamorphosis. You've seen the imagery of a caterpillar turning into a butterfly. Literally, there's a change from the inside out. This is the word that is used. That's why the Apostle Paul, one of my favorite life verses is Galatians 2, 20 and 21, where it says, it's no longer I who live, the Apostle Paul said, but it is Christ who lives in me. You see, it's not just knowing that I need a Savior, that I need light, that I need God's help. And God, I want you to come into my life. When I say yes to receiving Christ into my life, when I say yes to believing in who he is, that he's the Son of God, when I say yes to burying my old life with Christ in the waters of baptism, being raised to honor, when I say yes to him, right, I'm saying yes to what he offers me. And a transformation process begins that it's now Christ in me. He's not just out there. It's not about information. It's now about the transformation process. This is what the Apostle Paul is telling us here. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is the work of God. He wants to transform us. Transform us into what? Well, Book of Romans tells us, Romans 8:29 says, for those God foreknew who he predestined to be conformed to what? To the likeness of his son. God wants us to be conformed to the likeness of his son. Parents, you understand that your kids look up to you, right? And they want to be like you, for better or for worse. They look up to you and they want to be like us, right? They want to be in our likeness, right? God's desire for us as his children is that we would be in the likeness of Christ, that we would become like him. That's why as a church, we say we exist to live and love like Jesus. I love how Galatians tells us this. Again, the Apostle Paul says, my dear children. Now, he's looking at a group of people he's pastoring, right? Every pastor in the world, right, like feels this way about the people they're pastoring, right? For whom I am again in the pains of childbirth. Like, I can only imagine. I've had kidney stones, right? But Paul is saying, I hurt so bad for you to know this, right? I'm going to be in these pains until Christ is formed in you. This is the transformation process that happens. God wants to change in us. So this is a good place for us to pause and probably say, hey, what areas of your life do you need to do business with God? What are the areas of your life where you've said, hey, God, you can have these parts of me, but this part, I think I'm good. I mean, the Bible has some lists, right? Every time I read them, I'm like, ooh, that's me. Ooh, that's me. Ooh, that's me, right? We could go through the list of things, right? And at the end of the day, it's my will or God's will, right? Lying, slander, gossip, greed, lust, anger, bitterness, right? All these things, right? I know my list. What's yours? What areas of your life do you need to do business with God with today? Do you need to do business with God with every day and say, God, I need to be transformed. It's not about what I'm going to try to do differently, right? It's not about self-help. Well, if I go read these 5 books, right? Or if I go to have these conversations with people, I'm like, well, just make yourself a better person. No, it doesn't work, right? Because our nature is selfish. Our nature has to be transformed by God and with his help. Say, God, I want you to make me different. I want you to transform me. I want you to change me. You know, throughout my life, I've seen that God has used 3 catalysts to help change my life. 3 catalysts where he has transformed me. Number one is this, the word of God. Have you ever noticed how the word of God has the power to transform you and change you? You know, as a child and as a teenager, even as a young adult, sometimes even as a middle-aged adult now, I can you know, struggle with the discipline of staying consistently in the Word of God, right? We read stuff all the time, right? But when I have an opportunity to read God's Word, I have to position myself. Like literally, I don't want to read the Word of God like it's any other book. I physically want to position myself and posture myself to receive God's Word. And I'm not just going to read the word like I would read the text of some Facebook update or some news article I'm reading from USA Today or something like, right? I want to position myself. God, I'm going to read this. And I want you to speak to me through this. So it's like when I read about what the word of God is in and of itself, right? The word of God can transform me, but I have to allow it. So it's believing things like Hebrews 4:12. Position myself when I open up God's word and I start to read it. It's for the word of God is alive and active. It's alive. I have to tell myself that. I have to look at it and intensely say, God, your word, it's living and active. It is alive. It is living and breathing. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It's sharper than any other tool in this world, man. It knows how to cut right through me, judging even the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. God, you know me better than anybody. I have to tell God this all the time. God, you know me better than anybody. Right? And you, when I position myself with God's word, right? I position myself to go, yep, I'm off there. Man, I'm struggling there. Or God, I've seen you fulfill that in my life. That's so true. That's reaffirming. God, I'm going to keep walking in your way. Right? The word of God. This is why it's so important to dig into the word of God every day, to seek it for yourself. You don't need me telling you once a week. You need God telling you every day. And then together, we come together to celebrate that and to worship with him and to worship him. Right? Seeking God's word has the ability to change and transform our life. It's changed my life. Like it's changed my everything. Everything has changed because God's word, he's good and he's faithful. He comes through time and time again. It's changed my marriage. Have you ever noticed that when two people try to live life together, you don't always agree, right? Have any of you ever noticed that your wife doesn't know you're always right? Yeah. First hour, I did it the other way around, and everybody laughed, you know? Decided not to pick on the ladies, right? So, like, the Word of God has ability to bring us together, to bring us to center and say, God, I don't want to do marriage my way. God, I want to see what your word says about marriage. I want to live in the light of what you say about your creation and your design for parenting and for life and for career and for how to overcome. You know, the Word of God leads us and guides us and shows us the way. And we have to give God the opportunity to do that. So it's not just, you see, the Word of God, right? That's been catalytic, but also we need to understand this. The Spirit of God is a catalyst for our transformation, for how we go from where we were to where we can be. The Holy Spirit, we could spend a long time talking about the Holy Spirit. You see, what happens when we say yes to Jesus, it's not just saying yes to a set of information. Some of us think, okay, well, yes to Jesus means this, 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 and this. No, see, when we say yes to Jesus, it's what the Apostle Paul said, it's now about Christ in me. Paul said, this is the great mystery of the gospel, that he is alive in me. And why is he alive in me? Metamorphosis, to transform me. You see, he's not just out there, he is now in here. And why does he want to be in here? He wants to transform me into his likeness. He wants to lead me and guide me there. And so the Holy Spirit, right? Jesus is not here with us physically, but his Holy Spirit is with us. God says, I will give you my Spirit to lead you and guide you and comfort you. It's these moments where you wake up and at the beginning of the day, and some people say, hey, well, it must be nice being a pastor because you can just love people, you know, because you have to or you're supposed to, you know. Like, do you think it's easy to wake up and love everybody every day? Yes, yes, because I'm a holy man. And I'm telling you, like you, I literally, when I wake up, I roll over and I put my feet on the floor and I lean over in my bed. And I'm, you know, trying to wipe the eyes clean. And I'm shaking my head like, here we go. I'm like, God, today, this is your day. God, today, I want to be the man you want me to be. God, today, I'm going to fight struggles. God, today, I'm going to fight what I want to do. God, today, I'm going to fight selfishness. God, today, I need you to lead me and guide me. God, today, I need you to give me your love for people. God, today, I need you to give me a hunger for your word. Like, I don't just wake up and it's like all there all the time. I have to ask God to help me and lead me and guide me. And guess what he does? When I yield to him, when I give him permission, guess what he starts doing throughout the day? When a situation comes up that maybe I don't have the patience for or whatever. Hey, love him as I would. Lead him as I would. Like over and over again, we have to seek this in my life. I love what Romans 8:1 tells me. The Spirit is alive in me, right? And it says this, the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, right? God's Holy Spirit is now where? It's living where? In you. Whether I feel it or not, if I've said yes to Jesus, it's living in me. The question is, am I letting him speak? Am I paying attention to his leading and his guiding? The Spirit of God is a catalyst in our life that will lead us to transformation, to being the men and women God has called us to be. Now, here's the third catalyst in transformation. It's the Word of God, the Spirit of God. It's the people of God. Man, the church is a gift from God. It is not about the buildings or facilities. It is about the people of God. Have you ever seen, right, how the people of God have the ability to help lead you and move you forward in your relationship with God? There's a young man in our church family that he's off on the way to college, and so he's like 21 now, right? And I've known him since he was about 4 years old. That's how old I am, all right? Been here a long time. It's been so amazing to see him learn and grow. And so he came back and he said, hey, can we please have lunch before I go back to college? I said, absolutely, man, let's go have lunch. And we go to lunch and we're talking about, you know, just all types of things in life. And I said, hey, what are your next steps to becoming the man God wants you to be? And these are conversations we have. And he's in college, right? He's 21. He's in the midst of all types of things that are around him. And we had a great talk about how, you know, like when you're younger, the things you love to do, you surround yourself with. Like if you want to become good at a sport, you surround yourself with athletes. You surround yourself with people who are going to push you, not people who are going to make it easy for you, Right? If you want to excel with musicianship, you surround yourself with people who are good at it. If you want to be great in your career field, what do? Do you go about it alone, or are you better off, hey, networking with people who are great at this and learning from them and growing from them and pursuing it, right? Well, what do you think happens? Like, you want this. You know you're here. Are you going to get there by yourself? God says all throughout his word, love one another. Who's the person you're loving? You walk in a room and just say, well, here I am. Are you loving me? Well, let me ask you, who are you loving? You walk in a room and maybe even into church and you think, well, who cares about me? Well, let me ask you, who are you caring for? Like, you want someone to teach you? Well, let me ask you, who are you teaching? Because guess what? God's commands to you are the same they are to me. Love one another, care for one another, teach one another, lift up one another's burdens. His commands are the same for your life as they are for mine, right? And so together, you understand this? We've got to be in this together, and that's the gift of the church. The gift of the church, we as a church say, hey, we exist to live and love like Jesus. This is the life we're pursuing, unashamedly for each and every one of us, right? And we say we get there through four core commitments. Attend church weekly. God says, don't give up the habit of meeting together. It says the believers met together on the first day of every week, right? We come together, right, to be together. We talk about being in a group of the people that we sit around with and we can share life with and we can go to lunch with or grab a coffee with or text when we need somebody to talk to, right? And like, who are the one another people in your life? We talk about being serving is one of our core commitments around here. And it's not just because a task needs filled. It's about taking a passion that you have, connecting with a team of other people and saying, let's go. Let's make our community, let's make our church blessed, and in the process, man, let's love each other forward. All right, the people of God, God has positioned for us. I want to encourage you not to go about life alone anymore. Don't go about the pursuit of how do I get there from here alone, because let me tell you, it's hard, and it might even be impossible, because God has designed you for relationship with other people. You know, over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about how we can be transformed by God relationally, intellectually. How we can be transformed by God, not just spiritually, but applying the principles to every area of our life, emotionally, financially. Being in control of who we are by saying, God, it's about Christ in me through this. I will not conform to the pattern of this word, but I will be transformed. Man, I don't know about you, but I often find myself at this place in life. When I start feeling myself here about any area of my life, there's a pretty common thread. I'm not allowing God to transform me through his word, to transform me through his spirit, to transform me through his people. But when I get back to the basics, and I know that God is leading and guiding me forward, I want to challenge you this year to get in the word. Start in our reading plan. Make a commitment. It's on our website. You can download our app. Calvary.ch app is the actual name of it, the way you look for it. It preloads the Bible reading plan. You can know what we're reading together as a church. Last year, we did New Testament only. This year, there's Old Testament and New Testament, so you can get through the Bible in a whole year, or you can choose one path or the other. It doesn't matter. Just get in the word of God. Make a commitment to let God's word transform you and surrender to his spirit. Let me ask you, when's the last time you prayed and said, God, have your way in me today? This is a prayer I have to force myself to pray over and over and over and over and over. Every day, God, and I put my hands up. God, have your way in me today. Have your way in me. I want to challenge you to position yourself well this year. The people, the places that you surround yourself with, if there's a place you want to be in your relationship with God, surround yourself with people in the ways and means that will help get you there. Show up here often, not just when it feels good or when it's convenient. Show up weekly and pursue it. I love walking in church today, and I was shaking hands with some people, and this guy goes like this. He goes, wait. He goes, fighting a pretty good cold today. And I appreciated that for numerous reasons, right? He's fighting through whatever he's fighting through because he wants to be here. He's hungering for something more. Remember, life change happens best when we choose transformation over stagnation. I was reading recently, I love I had to remind myself of some stories that I learned long ago. In the book of Joshua, there's a place where the nation of Israel is struggling. People are saying, hey, we've heard about better days and better things, but we're just going to do our own thing in our own way. God, I'm going to keep going down this same old road. And there's a place where Joshua's leader just said, okay, let me just call it out right now. And I pictured him getting pretty fired up. Maybe he was pretty quiet in this moment. But I just pictured this moment where Joshua's going, hey, all right, everybody, hey, if this is what you want, he says this in Joshua 24, put it up here. He says, if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, now many of us would say, well, that's really strong. But listen, if you're hanging on to the things of the world and finding comfort in them instead of pursuing being the person that God has called you to be, right, then serving the Lord is undesirable to you because you don't want it. You want this. So he's calling it out in them. If serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Choose for yourselves this day. Who are you going to serve? He says, maybe it's the gods of your ancestors who served beyond the Euphrates River, right? Or the gods of the Amorites. He's like, hey, there's people that your forefathers have served, right? They've pursued all these false gods. These other people over there are pursuing these gods. He says, you choose for yourself. Choose for yourself this day whom you're going to serve. And then he draws a line in the sand. I imagine that there's these moments where Joshua felt he was all alone, like many of you may feel like you're all alone in your pursuit of doing the right thing. Your family may not be pursuing it. Your workplace is not pursuing it. Your neighborhood is not pursuing it, right? The world, right? Everything you look at, social media, the news, you know the world's not pursuing it, but you go, I want the light. Then there's a pretty clear decision to be made. Joshua was looking at the same situation. He says, hey, I don't care what all y'all do. If you want to go chase those things, chase them. But he made a decision. And his decision, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Will you read that out loud with me? As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Are you ready to choose? You can either choose to be transformed or you can choose to stay where you're at. May we be a people in a place that challenges each other to choose the Lord. Father God, we come to you and say, lead us and guide us. God, have your way in us. God, we readily admit that apart from you, God, we're prone to doing things our own way. And God, yet when we stop and understand that we've been designed by you and made by you, God, that you have the best in mind for us. God, and I pray, Lord, that today, God, we can take to heart your word, which says, don't conform any longer to the patterns of this world, God. We don't want to live apart from you. We don't want to live in sin. We don't want to live ignorant of you, God. We want to be a people in a place, God, that is pursuing you with all we got. So help us, God, today in our hearts and minds to know when to say enough is enough. God, we surrender to you. We surrender to your ways. We surrender to your word. We surrender to your spirit. And God, we will work together with your people, God, to pursue the life that you have for each of us. God, lead us this year. Do powerful things in our midst. Personally, corporately, God, have your way in us. We choose you today. It's in Jesus' name we pray.